T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jarrett Stidham, number 35.
There's nothing to say physically and go, ooh, there's a weakness to his football game. He reminds me a little of Tony Romo.
The guy out there that was the former first pick in the draft, I think he's a great complement to what Jarrett Stidham's strengths, I believe, will be.
Dale Arnold.
If you're actually wondering why John never has a date, that might be part of it. Shime must have flunked every math class he ever took. Frankly, I blame Shime. I blame John.
Rich Keefe.
Racism is like dust in the air.
You shine a flashlight and see all the dust motes in their ray of light. They were there the whole time, but you didn't notice them until the light turns on.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
He's a fourth-round draft pick. What does that tell you? Tells you that, okay, he's a fourth-round draft pick.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour of Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI. Dale is off today. Tomorrow at 1:15, Wiggy's former teammate, Nate Burleson, will join the program, so it'll be good to talk with him.
By the way, so Wiggy has been claiming for so long that him and Nate Burleson had the first ever podcast, and I was unable to verify that with either KFAN or the Vikings media department. Some of those people, which had been there for 20 years, said they have no clue what Wiggy's talking about.
Yeah, but Wiggy, to be fair, Wiggy sort of changed it earlier in the show where he said it was more of a vlog.
Yeah, we went around with a video camera, and we just basically interviewed or had people do things
and there's no evidence it happened.
It's out there. I don't know where to find it.
I mean, there's a lot of internet that we're
talking about
through.
15 years
dark
ago.
Web somewhere,
you know, things, you know, 15 years ago, what were they using, like little SID?
I don't know. You did it. What did you use?
I was a camera, so I don't know.
Yeah, the camera, like with the whole VHS tape.
Did you not was it like playing PlayStation 1 back in the day when you didn't have a memory card and you just had to see how far you could get without turning it off?
It was on like don't touch it.
It was on the Vikings website or one of those local...
See that, but I asked the Vikings website head of media, who my buddy who you went on a show with him couple months ago.
He
asked people who had been there since 2002, and they had no clue what you were talking about.
Ask Tom West. It might have been one of the, you know, well, he's like the PR guy down there, so it might have been like one of the local television channels where they, you know, come in and they say, hey, here's a camera. And they're
doing public access.
I don't know if it was public asset, but it was you know, might have been I guess our version of NBC Sports Boston, you know, whatever.
Okay.
NBC Sports Minnesota. Okay.
We'll keep our eyes peeled for tomorrow, and we can see if Nate can confirm some of these stories. Drew Brees in the news, Wiggy. He was doing an interview with Yahoo Finance, as it turns out, and it's funny because we were just talking about this earlier in the show. You know, Colin Kaepernick's protests have come back into light now with everything that's going on. And Arian Foster, we played it earlier. We could play it again coming up after the Drew Brees comments, but he was talking about like what the flag means to him versus what it might mean to somebody else, and how all of that sort of got twisted. You know, what Kaepernick was doing turned into he doesn't like the country, he doesn't like the troops, and all this stuff, which wasn't what he was trying to get across. Well, anyway, Drew Brees, sitting down with Yahoo Finance, discussed that subject.
Everyone is looking back now at Kaepernick's protests from a few years ago, and obviously they were always about police brutality, and now it's coming back to the fore, and a lot of people expect that we will see players kneeling again even when the NFL season starts. I'm curious how you think the NFL will and should respond to that, and of course you're such a leader in the league. What is your responsibility as a leader in times like this for the rest of your teammates and players in the league?
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better, and that we are all part of the solution.
What do you think, Wiggy?
See, that's the problem that we have, right? What's the first thing? So as he's speaking, I'm writing a few things down, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of saying, okay, so here's his mindset. I'll never agree with anybody who disrespects the flag or our country, right? So he instantly thinks kneeling during the national anthem as disrespect to the flag in the country. So no matter what you say to him, he's not going to agree with you.
No, and I also think what's pretty telling is when he says, when I look at it, I think of this.
Right, like, and that
great,
was...
man, that's what you think of.
That was my next point that I wrote down, right?
Yeah.
What I think about, my grandparents serving this country in World War, I forget, World War II. Both of them in World War II, right?
Grandparents, both in World War II.
Right, yep. So it brings a tear to my eye. I can't make it through because I think about them, right? Then I'm thinking to myself, okay.
That's your experience.
What about Arian Foster, Colin Kaepernick, the many black athletes who take a knee, who think about their grandparents that were lynched, that were beat, that were hung from a tree in this country because of the color of their skin? How do you think they feel about this country?
Yeah, that's why, again, I mean, Drew Brees just doesn't seem...
Right, and so
to me, I get it, because, and that's fine. And
isn't that where the problem comes, though, Rich? Right?
Yeah,
we
talked
about...
Yeah.
So if Drew Brees is not willing to have a conversation with me about how I feel about, like we heard from Arian Foster, right? And I know we're going to play some of his audio about what he thinks America means to him. How can they then have a conversation and figure out, okay, I can kind of feel your pain a little bit, Arian?
Yeah, I wonder. And so, again, that was just Drew Brees. I'm curious what Brees would think of Arian Foster's comments that he made on Pardon My Take.
And so when you see the flag and the Star Spangled Banner and the stripes, you get a real, like, gut, visceral, feel-good feeling. I don't feel that at all. I don't. And you can't make me feel that. I wish I did feel that when I heard the Star Spangled Banner National. I wish I did, but I don't like the song. The flag, I'm real indifferent about the flag. I don't feel like this inherent, like, I love to be an American. Like, it's just not, and a lot of us feel like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like if Drew Brees, I have no problem with him. Mm-hmm. If he's crying during the anthem and he's always thinking about his grandfathers and their sacrifice, great.
Right.
But what I never understood was, well, isn't part of the sacrifice, like, the ability to protest? And, you know, we had a lot of conversations a couple of years ago when this came out, and we, you know, we had military members calling in, and you would get different stances on that. Like, some would say, I fought so they could do this. Mm-hmm. Others would say, I fought and I'm pissed. And, like, guess what? Everybody's going to have their own opinion on that. But you're right, Wiggy. The way Breeze starts out is like, I'm right, you're wrong.
Right. And that's what it comes down, and that's where we're never going to change, right? Because he's not taking, is Drew Brees the one that has to worry about, let's say Drew Brees was just, you know, Drew Bennett, some average white guy that was working on, you know, corporate America.
Former receiver for the Titans, Drew Bennett.
Well, let's just, you know, not that guy, but just an average guy working in, you know, corporate America, you know, working a 9-to-5 like everybody else, right?
Yep.
Drew Brees doesn't have to deal with Arian Foster, average black guy working in corporate America, living in America, and Drew Brees doesn't have to deal with the things that Arian Foster has to deal with from living in this country, right? Or so his view of the country is going to be a lot different than Drew Brees's. And that's the thing where, you know, where I think that we run into a problem because Drew Brees is instantly saying, oh, this guy, he's wrong. I don't know what he's thinking about. He should be happy to be in this country. Look what we've done. But he doesn't understand the struggles that guys, black guys, have to deal with every single day. And it's
because Drew Brees played with Malcolm Jenkins. Now, Malcolm Jenkins, when he was kneeling, was with the Eagles. So he had already left the Saints. But I wonder if he feels differently about him. I'm curious, if you were Wiggy on the Saints now and you heard those comments by Brees, what would you be thinking?
My thing would be like, it would be the same way. I understand that your grandparents fought for this country and, you know, we thank them for the services that they, you know, they put their lives on the line and we have some ability to do things. But Drew, you don't have to, your life is not like my life, right? My grandparents, you know, died at the hands of this country from being lynched and because of the color of their skin, Drew. I walk into a store and I got all eyes on me, Drew. I drive through a neighborhood. Listen, I'm driving around through a neighborhood in a nice car, Drew. I'm getting pulled over because maybe, oh, what's going on? Right? You don't have to deal with that. And so that's, you got to see my frustration. So when I'm, you know, when I'm upset at, you know, my country, my family member, and I'm not talking to them and I'm taking a knee and showing I ain't happy with you, I'm not trying to disrespect them. I just want them to feel my pain.
Yeah.
Right?
As John told me, Malcolm Jenkins back with the Saints. I forgot about that.
Right.
So he's back on the Saints. I'm curious what the conversation will be like between those guys. I don't know. Do you think there's going to be an upswing in players kneeling again?
There might be.
Yeah, they changed the rule. They're saying that last year you had to be in the locker room, but we'll see.
Right. There might be guys that'll say the hell with it. I'll take the fine. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's time. But if you're going to have guys like Drew Brees who – that guy said, is a face and a voice of the league. And his thing is, you know, I'm never going to agree with anybody who disrespects the flag, because his thing is, if you take a knee, you're disrespecting the flag. How can we even have a conversation?
It's going to be tough. It seems like it's already kind of ended there.
It's not going to be a conversation. It's going to be an argument.
He also had, what was the video that he was on? It was like this Focus on the Family video. And then he had to come out, like, he was a spokesperson for, I don't want to screw this up, but John, do you remember? It was like the company was pretty anti-gay.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had to come out and say, well, no. Like, I'm not like that. But so Drew Brees has been some.
Bring Your Bible to School Day was the initiative he was part of.
Yes. And it was. He was criticized after appearing in a video linked to an anti-LGBTQ evangelical group, Focus on the Family. So, I mean, when he's touched on some of the issues before, he's kind of stepped in it. So anyway, that's Drew Brees. Add it to the conversation. We can get to that. 617-779-7937. Plus the NBA's plan of coming back. It looks like it's pretty much set. We have all the details on that, so we'll get to that with your phone calls. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keefe.
I'll let this cat out of the bag
on WEEI.
Back here on Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI. Dale's off today and tomorrow, but Wiggy will be here tomorrow as well. And around this time tomorrow, we'll talk with Nate Burleson from the NFL Network, get his thoughts on everything that is going on right now. We've also been talking today about the return of the NBA, Wiggy, as it looks like it is pretty much set. July 31st, it'll start down at Disney, and 22 teams are going to go. And I guess the cutoff point was every team that was within 6 games of the last playoff spot. So that's why there's only one team that's outside of the top 8 from the East, the Wizards. And then there are 5 teams outside of the 8 seed Memphis in the West. So you're going to get 22 total teams in Florida. Mm-hmm. They're all going to play 8 games. 8
right.
quote-unquote regular season games. And then just to fight for that last playoff spot. And so I think it's just the 8th spot that is up for grabs in both leagues.
Right. And basically, like you said, it's those teams will fight for that spot. Mm-hmm. And then if it's close, they'll have some type of plan for who gets the 8th spot. But ultimately, you know, you got 6 teams, or there are potentially going to be 6 teams that are only really going there to play 8 games.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So six teams are going to go, and they're going to leave. And I'm sure the NBA is really hoping that Zion Williamson, your guy, Wiggy, he and the Pelicans can go from, they're tied for ninth right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they can take that last spot and then have a playoff series against LeBron. They would love that. But now that you know what the scenario is, eight games to sort of tune back up, or mm-hmm. if you're one of those eight teams, fight for the playoffs, and then full playoffs and all at Disney. So all neutral site games, all without a crowd. Again,
we don't know that yet.
Well, maybe. But even if they do bring in a crowd, it's not going to be like
No. It'll be like you know what you would see.
It'll be like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck.
Yeah, it would be like you would see Disney princesses. At a, like a low level AAU game. You know, hey, we're down in Disney. We can go check out this basketball.
It won't impact the game, is my point.
No, you're right about that.
I think a team like Milwaukee, which was in a position to have home court throughout the playoffs, that kind of screws them.
Yeah.
Right?
I think there's no home court advantage, right? So I think everybody then is at the same level of, and it does hurt the top seeds, the Milwaukees, the Lakers.
Because think about this. The Milwaukee Bucks were 28-3 at home.
Okay.
And so now they don't have a home court advantage. And
they were 25-9 on the road, so still pretty.
No, they were great. No, they were definitely great, but they were like dominant.
Right, no, I know what you're saying.
And we also saw that one year where Kyrie Irving was hurt and the Celtics went to the conference finals. Do you remember how different they were home and road?
Oh, yeah.
It was like two different teams. Like Terry Rozier looked like an all-star at home and a scrub on the road. There were two different teams.
Right.
And so now you throw that out.
Right.
And it's really kind of
I guess it's
bizarre.
How friendly are the rims down at whatever court that they're deciding to make, you know.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe – I haven't been to Disney in a while. I didn't even know. Do they have, like, a basketball arena?
They have apparently, like, 12, I believe. They have, like, a whole bunch of courts.
Okay. So
I don't know why, but they have, like, this great complex.
But it's
I don't know.
Is it the Wide World of Sports Complex then? Is that the one?
Maybe. Is that down?
Is that like where they do like, the Disney Complex, which is kind of separate from the actual Disney World theme park?
Well, like it's so big, like, but it's all like private property. Okay. And that's what I read. So I think that's what they're going to do. Now, I don't know if this will take place, but like with every sport, they've always sort of kicked around these different ideas of what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
In these times. So we're just talking about how home court, there is no more home court advantage.
No.
So these are some scenarios that have been discussed according to ESPN. I think Dave McMiniman was the first guy to post this out there. He said the higher seeded team would be awarded the first possession of the second, third, and fourth quarters following the traditional jump ball to begin the game. What do you think of that one?
No, just keep it the same.
It's dumb.
Well, I'm waiting for next. The higher team gets a DJ and they get to play music when the opponent
they get to pick all the songs.
And no, they get to play music when the opponent's down there, like crowd noise.
It says the higher seeded team would be allowed to designate one player to be able to be whistled for 7 fouls instead of 6.
Oh, stop.
These are real. These are real.
I don't know if they're going to do this.
The higher seeded team would get an extra coaches challenge.
Stop. Nope. This is like fantasy league. Like somebody who, aren't you a president in like a fantasy football league?
A commissioner, right? Commissioner.
Okay. This is like you as a commissioner trying to come up with different ways for your fantasy football league.
No, it is. But it's like anytime we bring up like, what would you change in a sport? I feel like we get flooded with calls and like the vast majority of them are just so out there. And this is what this is. They have two others, but I'm just reading this. This was a real report. The higher seeded team being able to transport their actual hardwood home court from their arena to Orlando to try to preserve the feel of their home playing experience. Like, tell the guard, like, hey, we're gonna need those pieces down here.
Right, we're gonna need the parquet.
And the other one is an off-court feature in which playoff teams, in order of seeding, receive first choice on picking which hotel they stay at ESPN's Wide World of Sports Complex and the Disney World Resort.
Okay.
So you were right about the Wide World of Sports.
Yeah.
But those are all terrible.
Right.
I just think you have to go in and say, too bad. You had home court advantage, you thought you were gonna have home court advantage. You don't anymore. It's right. All neutral site. That's gonna be the nature of it.
Right.
I mean, think about when teams go and play March Madness. You know, Duke doesn't get to play the Final Four right. at home. They don't get.
And
to play
I don't
any
want
the
court. If you gotta bring anything, bring the baskets down. I don't want the
bring the rims.
Yeah, I don't want the floor. Bring the baskets in the rim. So I'm, you know, because that's generally when you think about home court, players are comfortable shooting on their own rims. I mean. So it's just keep it as is, and it's one of those weird seasons where, hey, whether you're the one seed or you're the eight seed, you're really equal, and, you know, it's anybody's ball game, and, you know, if you're the better team, you'll come out. Or if you're playing the best basketball at that point in time, you're going to win that series.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We have Tyler in Georgetown. He joins us next. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So I'm a big NBA fan. I'm happy the season might be coming back one way or another. But assuming it happens, I just wanted to see how you guys think a Bucks-Celtics series might turn out. I'm a Celtics fan, so you probably know how I'm leaning. But I wanted to hear from you guys.
I think they could give them a series. I really do.
You think so?
I'm probably higher on the Celtics than Wiggy is.
Right.
I do. I also think, again, take out home court advantage, which would have been a nice bonus for the Bucks in every series. There's no debating it. It would have helped them.
Yes!
Also, the idea of the Celtics and some of their young guys playing on the road. There is no really road. They're going to get used to it. They're going to have those eight games to get adjusted,
right.
And then even a couple of playoff series. Because if they play the Bucks, that means they won two playoff series. So they got to be playing pretty well.
Right.
And I think that a team that can beat the Bucks, they're a great team, but it has to be a team that shoots a ton of threes and makes a bunch of threes. And we've seen the Celtics get hot. They have lineups that five guys on the floor can chuck in threes.
Right.
I think that's how they would have to be able to beat them. And you've made this point too, Wiggy. As good as the Bucks are, outside of Giannis,
right,
they're just a really deep team. They don't have anybody else that really scares you.
Right. I think the Celtics can beat the Bucks, right?
Oh, you do?
Here's why. Because if it was, you know, the momentum and they were playing, and I think maybe it's a different type of thing. But because it's a weird season where everybody's starting from the ground floor, I don't know how the Bucks are going to play, right? What if they come out and maybe what if Giannis isn't very good early on, right?
Yeah.
And you're able to snatch up a couple of games. I think because of the way this season has gone and where guys have kind of taken a layoffs and who knows where the team, when's the team going to get some momentum. I think that it's anybody can beat anybody. I don't think there's a real favorite in the coronavirus NBA playoffs is what I'm going to call it because.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's no home court. You don't know. Who's to say that the Brooklyn Nets just don't get hot and they're able to beat whoever they play?
Well, that's what scares me. If they get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, that's just a completely different team that really wasn't supposed to be playing in 2020. And then that's just a ton of talent. And they could go out there and they could definitely – they could take down Toronto in the first round if that ends up being what the matchup is. Because I think before coronavirus, it was – Clippers, Lakers, Bucks in some order.
Right.
Say. Those were the three favorites. You know, I wouldn't put all my money on any of those teams, but those were the three favorites. And then, you know, Boston, Toronto, Denver, Utah, maybe not Utah anymore, but those you would say they're on that next tier.
Right.
And because you're throwing this just weird curveball into the season, like, oh, why not? Like, crazier things have happened than
right.
the Celtics going on a run.
And like you said, who's to say that, you know, you get to the playoffs and all of a sudden you're one team that, you know, you get hot and it seems like every time you throw the ball up, it goes in the hoop and you're another team that can't throw the ball in the ocean.
Yeah,
I mean, we seen that last year with Kyrie Irving and how he went from one series. He, you know, he was making all types of shots against the Indiana Pacers. Then he gets to the Milwaukee Bucks series.
Holy smokes, terrible. And
so we don't know. You know, with this long layoff, how players are really going to bounce back and that kind of thing. We don't know what's going to happen. There's no momentum, so forget about how a team was playing. Everybody's starting with no momentum, and, you know, that's why
wait.
I think anybody it'll be the same way in hockey, and it's the same, it's anybody's championship to be had.
Let's go to Reg in Maine. He joins us next. What's up, Reg?
Hey, fellas. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well today, thank you. I just wanted to add, I thought you guys really just hit the nail on the head about Drew Brees there and the different experiences grandparents can have. You know, we all love our grandparents, obviously, but, you know, Drew Brees' grandparents, I'm sure, didn't have the same working experiences as, like, you know, perhaps Jermaine's or Colin Kaepernick's or, you know, black guys with their housing opportunities or their job opportunities. And I just wanted to add that Drew Brees' grandparents perhaps were able to benefit from the GI Bill and able to get a house or whatever. And black American servicemen from World War II were not able to get that at all. And, you know, you see how much of that makes up the generational wealth of what's left of the middle class now, of, you know, grandparents handing down the houses to the, you know, the grandkids, their kids, now the grandkids now. And that's just not available for black Americans of that generation. And it's filtered down now. And that's just something else to be aware of, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I don't understand how Drew Brees can't, like, see both sides of it.
And no.
Because that's when
that's a big problem. You know, I think that's our problem, yeah. Whatever, with all, you know, why we're here is because no one can see the other side of it.
Because I think if you sit down and listen to Drew Brees and if you sit down and listen to Arian Foster,
mm-hmm.
I think, like, if part of Drew Brees' statements, I think, are fine. Like, if you hear the anthem and you think of your grandparents and you get emotional,
right,
great. Like, that's you.
Right.
And if you're Arian Foster and you hear the anthem and you're like, you know what? I don't love the experience that me or my family have had in this country. I'm not saying it's the worst. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving, or I'm just saying it could be better.
Right.
It could certainly be better. So I'm not going to sit there and say I'm crying about it. And then Drew Brees also pointed out that, well, if everybody's standing for the anthem, that means we're all in it together.
Right.
And it's like, well.
Well, it seems like
some of the other guys think it's not.
It almost seems like Drew Brees is like, okay, here's why you need to stand, and you need to understand my side. And if you don't, I don't agree with you. But it's like, I'm not really concerned with your side, right? Yeah. If you're kneeling, I'm not really concerned with your side, because my grandparents did this and they fought for this and I live in this great country. But Drew has to know, from playing with a lot of black athletes throughout his whole football career and, mm-hmm. and just, you know, living in this world, he has to know that based on the color of his skin, it's a different world for black people. Like, so you have to have that sympathy there for people of color and say, okay, I could see why they might be a little bit upset at America and the way America treats them. But it almost seems like if you kneel, he's not hearing you. He doesn't understand.
Like, right away, he doesn't like it.
Right, and he doesn't understand why you would even kneel, because we live in the greatest country. Like, he does. It almost seems like he's missing that point, and he can't. Not that he has to relate, but he just can't even understand why they would be upset at America.
Right, and I'm curious, you know, how that's going to play out with his teammates now, and we'll see. I mean, it might be one of those things.
They probably look at him side-eyed, man. They probably, to be honest, you know, I've been in a lot of locker rooms. To be honest, black athletes is probably not hanging out with Drew after they leave the facilities and going out to the clubs with him, you know, going out with them. You know, maybe every blue moon he might have some in his house and, you know, their paths cross. But, you know, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm going to bet you on a daily basis, it's, you know, Drew's hanging out with more of the white players and the black guys are hanging out with the black guys.
And I think, I mean, again, you have such a big locker room that you're obviously not going to agree with everybody on everything. You know, even the big important issues.
Right.
And so you just sort of put it aside right while you play, and then you leave and you're like, all right, whatever.
But you got to be able, you got to be able to understand at least what a person, you know, is dealing with, right? You got to be able to look and feel some sympathy towards what that person might have dealt with, right? If somebody grows up, you know, I was fortunate. I grew up with my mother. I grew up in a single parent household, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was fortunate to have my mother, but I can understand somebody who maybe and sympathize with somebody who grew up with no parents or grew up in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can sympathize with them and say, man, that must have been really difficult for you. The same way I would hope somebody could sympathize with me what it was like growing up without a father.
Right. Yeah. So, like, exactly. I don't know what that's like. I had both my parents in my life from day one to now. And,
right.
Like, right. And I But so if Wiggy says this is how I felt growing up, what am I going to say? No, that's not. Like, I don't know. Like, Wiggy's experience is different than my experience, which is different than you listening, which is different than everybody. Like, everybody's is a little bit different. And if you're not willing to listen to the other person, I don't really know where you're going
to
go.
Right. And if you're not willing to sympathize with that person because maybe the struggles that they dealt with, and you're going, whatever, right? It's like, yeah, this is how I think. If you're not willing to, how can we then create change? Because we're still going to have people that feel like, well, you don't want to, if you nailing for the national anthem, I ain't even trying to hear you. And that's what Drew Brees is saying.
I wonder if Brees is going to have another, if he's going to have to apologize for this one or not. Because
He might walk it back where I didn't mean, you know, I mean for people who are really disrespectful.
Yeah, no, that you're right. That's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to come out and say, listen, I'm all for the protest, but just not that protest. He's going to do that, which is not really an apology at all, but like that's what it's going to be.
Right.
I can already see that one coming. With the news of the day that the NBA is coming back and they have finalized their details pretty much, they're going to vote on it tomorrow. Do you think the NHL is pretty close behind?
Well, I would hope so, but why haven't we heard nothing, though, right?
I don't know.
And I always get into an argument with Dale about this, is this should at least be something, because here we are the beginning of June, right? If you're saying, all right, we're going to start the NBA or the NHL season at the end of July, right, shouldn't you have some type of timeline plan together? Because we know that now with the NBA, it's 8 games, right? So they went away from that 25 game thing. So we know that the facilities are open. So when are there, and I'm making air quotes here, their training camps technically going to happen? Is that going to happen like July 1st?
Soon. I think a lot of the facilities are open, right?
Right. So, but when
but
do they
as far
say,
as like real teams getting there? I don't know. I didn't see that. That might be July
1st. Well, no. When do they say, okay, all the players are now invited back to the facilities.
Right.
And we're having a training camps type of, you know, 25 days getting us ready to go out to
I think Disney. One of the things that's helped is that they at least have that as a location. Right, like there was the idea of, oh, are they going to do it at their own buildings, just empty, or no, we're not doing that. Oh, Disney, boom, and they all agreed on it. Whereas the NHL, I feel like is Canada allowed? Oh no, we can't do Canada. Like, oh, Manchester, New Hampshire, no, maybe not. And like Vegas, yeah, maybe Vegas. I feel like they're still kind of trying to figure that out.
Figure
right?
out
like,
a location.
Yeah, and so once the NBA locked that in, I think it was a lot easier to sort of pick up the pieces everywhere else.
Right, and that's why I think the NBA has to be saying, okay, all players, and I know we're all working out, but we will all be able to work out together because you're still talking about 2 months, but almost, you know, a little bit less than 2 months before the season is supposed to start. But, hey, we're starting our training camp. We want everybody showing up July 3rd, a month from now. You show up, and we're going to have, you know, 3 weeks of just basically every single day, twice, whatever it is, our training camp style format to get us ready for when we head down to Disney.
So we do have a response. Michael Thomas on Twitter, a response to Drew Brees, I should say. I was asking you, like, what would you say? How would a teammate respond? He has a couple of tweets here. Michael Thomas, who, again, just set the record for most receptions in a season, in large part with Drew Brees last year. He tweeted out, he don't know no better. And then he followed up with, we don't care if you don't agree, and whoever else, how about that?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what that's.
And then he retweeted some people, including Ice-T.
Yeah, that's kind of what he's saying is like, Drew, come on, man.
Yep,
you're, and it's saying now, Drew don't know any better. You know, he lives in a bubble.
He lives
in a bubble, and in his bubble, this is what it is. If you're nailing, I don't even want, you know, I can't even agree with you.
Nope, you're already wrong. I'm not even going to have a discussion.
Right.
Like, okay. So, yeah, maybe Drew Brees, especially with Michael Thomas voicing his displeasure for him, I think he's going to have to respond, and we'll see how he does that. All right, we come back. It's what else you got, including another update on the Carole Baskin saga. And everything going on with her. We told you yesterday how she's taken over Joe Exotic's park. Well, we got another issue with Carole Baskin. That's included in what else you got coming up next.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, wrapping things up here on Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI. Dale off today, off tomorrow as well, so it'll be me and Wiggy once again starting tomorrow at 10. But for some of the stuff that we missed time for...
What else you got?
All right, I'm going to go first here because I teased it, and we hit on this a little bit yesterday during Kiefer Madness. There was an update to the Tiger King saga as Carol Baskin was able to win in court Joe Exotic's former zoo. So she's taking that over. So that seems like, I guess, good news for Carol Baskin.
I would think so. You may probably make a little bit of money off that.
She probably could. But I think we may also have some bad news for Carol Baskin.
The only update was the fact that they called in some experts to say that the will was a forgery. And I had already told them, that 2 months ago.
Wait, the will is a forgery?
Oh, yeah. No, they had two experts deem it 100% a forgery.
So that, of course, Carol Baskin's first husband, Don Lewis, who remember just kind of disappeared.
Yep.
And all of a sudden the will, because remember there was the lady, like the assistant of his, that said what the will was or whatever, and then it got changed. And so this is the sheriff down there, and he's like, now I don't know where they can go from here or what they can
but
get
the
out
will
of it.
For the not the Joe Exotic
no the husband the first husband of Carol Baskin's that she fed to the tigers that got eaten.
Yes.
That guy then like signed stuff over to her, which was not the case. And remember, his first wife and all his daughters didn't get anything.
Yes.
And so it was forged. And so, again, I don't know what else they can do with this or where they can go with it. But, I mean, if you didn't think that way about Carol Baskin before, I mean, I think it's
right.
It's
well, I guess the only way they can go is maybe if it was forged that she would have to pay some people whatever
something
amount. You know,
they got to bring her down. Yeah. Tiger King 2 has to be bringing down Carol Baskin.
Tiger King 2.
Has to be.
What else you got?
Wiggy?
All right. So, we've been hearing a lot of bad apples, right? You know, they're in this whole thing. It's the bad apples. Don't let it spoil the bunch. And, you know, this was funny. Chris Rock, you know, bringing some light, some laughter to bad apples. And I know this was from some years ago, but... Chris,
it applies.
Yes, it definitely applies. Here's Chris Rock and on the Bad Apples.
Well, here's the thing, man. Whenever the cops gun down an innocent black man, they always say the same things, man. They always say the same thing. It's like, well, it's not most cops. It's just a few bad apples. Bad Apple. That's a lovely name for murderer. It's like, how'd they get that one? Bad Apple. That almost sounds nice. I mean, I've had a bad apple. It was tart, but it didn't choke me out. Here's the thing. I know it's hard being a cop, but some jobs can't have bad apples. Okay? Some jobs, everybody gotta be good. Like pilots. You know? American Airlines can't be like, you know, most of our pilots like to land. We just got a few bad apples that like to crash in the mountains. Please bear with us.
Chris Rock bringing some
so
light
good.
To it.
Where does he rank on your
all-time comedian?
Yeah.
Ooh, man, that's a good one. That is a good one. But I got to have Eddie Murphy number one on the list for me.
Yeah.
I would say Chris Rock. I have to go through the list. You kind of throw me off.
No, I know. I put you on the spot. Yeah. I just recently did a podcast. I did the Mac and Goo podcast, and they ranked – or no, we did a draft. It was four of us. We did a draft of comedians, and I had the third pick. We ended up taking five each, but my first pick, third overall, I got Dave Chappelle.
Oh, Chappelle's a good one, too.
He's probably my
favorite.
Richard
Pry is good.
Yep, he went first.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
I love Martin Lawrence.
Yeah. He had some good ones.
I love Martin Lawrence. You know, Chris Rock is definitely up there. I think Cat Williams is funny.
I do.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you watch some of Cat Williams' stand-up comedy, it's really funny. Mike Epps. So, I mean,
I heard about Cat Williams. Like, he... wouldn't do like an appearance unless they got him like a brand new Jordans, or like he had to get like this. He always had to get like super nice stuff mm-hmm. any place he went to perform.
Yeah, but his stand up is pretty good. You know,
his hat and his suits.
Yeah, Bernie Mac. I mean, oh man,
there's
some good ones, man. There's definitely some good ones. Let's go Cedric the Entertainer. I could go on and on.
Cedric the Entertainer, I like. I noticed there's a theme with some of the comedians that you like.
Oh, they're black.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a comedy. It's, I don't know, it's different. I don't really find Jerry Seinfeld or...
Seinfeld's not great stand-up. Yeah. I love his show. I don't love his stand-up.
I do love his show, but I don't really know... Like, who are some good stand-up white comedians?
So, John Mulaney is maybe my favorite, like, right now.
See, and I never heard of him.
So,
Dane Cook was great for a while.
Dane Cook
was
great.
I've heard of Dane Cook.
People hate him, but Bill Burr, you gotta like Bill Burr.
No, like I don't. Maybe because I can't relate to the comedy.
All right, maybe.
But you know what I mean? That might be it. It's, you know, I can kind of relate a little bit more to the black comedy. It's funny, but I do like that Italian guy. He is pretty funny. I forget what his name is.
Andrew Dice Clay.
No, he was funny. No, there's an Italian guy who. He's a comedian. He's pretty funny. I forget his.
The dude from Chicago, right? I think I know what you're talking.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah. He's really funny. But yeah, Dice right. Clay was a good one.
He was.
What else you got?
Hickory dickory dock.
all the nursery rhymes. John, what do you have?
So of all police departments to not do, maybe it would be worse if it were NYPD, but the LA Police Department has just been lighting people up all week. And the thing about LA is they have got so many celebrities living there that are out protesting every day, posting videos. So, for example, Halsey, the pop star, she's out there with like medical supplies and everything, millions of followers taking videos of them shooting rubber bullets at nurses and all this stuff. So of all police departments to do this, the LAPD held a Zoom conference call where citizens could just call in and speak to like the commissioner. And all these different things happened on it. You can find these websites online. They're all on Twitter. But here's just one example of something that happened during that Zoom call.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Black Lives Matter, defund the police. I find it disgusting that the LAPD is slaughtering peaceful protesters on the street. I had two friends go to the protest in Beverly Hills a couple days ago, and the protest was peaceful. So the police showed up with their excessive violent force, shooting rubber bullets and throwing tear gas. Is this what you think of protecting and serving? Because I think it's bull. F*** you, Michael Moore. I refuse to call you an officer or a chief because you don't deserve those titles. You are a disgrace. Suck my and choke on it. I yield my time. F*** you.
I yield my time.
Wow.
He had a lot of points.
What was his response?
There.
He had like 3 seconds left on the clock, by the way. Right. He was hardly yielding the time.
What was the response from the
I think they just moved on to the next call.
Thank you for your call.
All right, let's go to
let's go to Tiffany
over here.
And
Tim
let's
in
go
West to... Hollywood. He joins us next. What was that?
That must have been so awkward. Yeah, Tim in West Hollywood.
What like, yeah, else you got?
Thanks, guys, for everything you're doing.
So last night, Dale was on the Furloughed Friends podcast.
Okay.
Fellow friends of ours, Lucy Burge, friends of the show, Lucy and Nick Fryer.
Yep.
Used to have that ugly goatee and those terrible cowboy boots. But Dale was there.
Shamed. He got shamed out of the goatee, though. He shaved that.
Dale knew he had the next couple days off, so he just went on this podcast and decided, you know what? I'm going to rip the producers of my show.
Wow. Yes. John could have been a healthier. I don't know if he knows more than Nick about these things. But what do you really think about their movie picks? Are they duds? Are they just...
Oh, some of it just freaking awful. I mean, Secret Life of Pets 2, for God's sakes. I mean, if you're actually wondering why John never has a date, that might be part of it. I mean, yeah, it had
never
to do
is a
with 10-year period.
Shots fired.
And what decades were. And Scheim must have flunked every math class he ever took. I mean, let's be honest about it. Now, I have a son who got a PhD in statistics from Yale.
Humble.
He couldn't explain Scheim's math to me.
Oh, my God.
I'm just telling you. He couldn't.
So, first of all, I'd like to say...
What was the math problem that you have in so much...
No, Scheim doesn't know what a decade is.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Scheim thinks a decade is 11 years.
That is not a math problem. That is simply a logical issue.
It's a terrible...
I would like to tell Mr. Dale Arnold that before I got to this lovely establishment, I was in college as a math major.
Right.
I've taken much more difficult math classes than he could possibly imagine.
A decade's 10 years.
Right.
Yes, that we can agree on. Let's leave it at that.
This was the boiled down argument.
And a century's 100.
But the 99,000. So the 99-2000 Lakers.
Yes.
You know, they won the title in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
What decade would they belong to? The 90s or the early 2000s? Oh, boy.
No, because
we broke him.
No. I think the season that you play in is the decade you belong to.
Thank you, Wiggy.
No, it's the season that where it ends. Football's different because it's only like two games. It's
specifically
playoffs,
winter sports.
Okay.
Basketball and hockey.
All right.
Because they call it the 2000 finals. They don't call it the 99-2000 finals.
Okay, right. All right.
So that was where our discussion was.
Okay, I can
see
that.
And then
I'm not
going
to rehash that because Keith will just want to pursue with physical violence
right.
against
me.
Basketball,
I could see basketball because a lot of their season takes place in the following year, right? So I would say that, yeah, you could say it's the 2000 season, right? Because the NBA starts in, what, October? So you get,
yes.
what, 2 months?
Yeah, they play less than half the season in one calendar. And
yeah.
And they play the other more than half and then the playoffs.
Right. So then I would count it for the 99-2000, I would say it's the 2000. It would be in the 2000s.
That's the first team of that decade.
Yes, I would agree with you on that one.
See?
I was thinking football, that's why.
There you go. Right, football's a little bit different, but that's only playoffs that are played in that part.
Right.
And people number the Super Bowls. They don't say, oh, the 2000 Super Bowl.
Right.
They say Super Bowl 20,
yep.
whatever the hell it was, 30.
Yep.
All right. I thought I was going to have to defend Shyam and John, but the things that Dale brought up, I agree with him on. The decade thing and Secret Life of Pets, he was actually kind of right about those.
All in a day and a night. Should have won. I still can't believe they lost.
No, that was good. That was good.
Still
so tomorrow, we're going to have another movie. You can't nominate the same movie twice.
So, I'm back at it tomorrow?
Yeah, you're
back at it
tomorrow.
So see, I like
throw
this
another movie
thing.
At us
you're,
tomorrow.
You know I'm the movie connoisseur,
correct?
Right?
It has to be on Netflix.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I'm the movie guy.
I know. All right. So we'll have movie nominees tomorrow. We'll have Nate Burleson tomorrow at 1:15. Once again, it'll be me and Wiggy, Shyam and John, too, if you're interested in that. All right, OMF is next. Go nowhere here. Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.